Welcome back, everybody. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. Luke's out one more day, and I hope he hasn't paid attention whatsoever, and I hope he didn't even bother watching any Bucks game, because that was brutal. My goodness. They just could not hit a shot at the end of the game for anything. I don't think I saw them hit a three at all. And Boston hit all of them. So, I mean, that's what's going to happen. They lost by scoring less points than the other team. But we've been talking about gun violence here, as, you know, highlighted by the wonderful, you know, the good old American triple play of fatal shootings over the weekend of all different varieties. Congratulations. And, you know, I bring up the saturation of gun violence and culture. I bring up, you know, the extremist words of the Trumpian crazies, as well as, you know, any sort of militant crazy, as it were. And but I got to tell you, that's basically the dirt and the fertilizer through which all this grows. The root of it, the core of it, I got to tell you, more than likely started with domestic violence. Most gun deaths in this country, homicides, are domestic violence related. Most of the people that perpetrate these violent events that also have guns as well are part of or an ongoing or had domestic violence as part of their past or some sort of unresolved trauma. So the root, if you want to go and go after it, is domestic violence and unresolved trauma. That's where I would start. That's where I would really, really focus on. But again, I'm just some radio host and I'm speculating here. I'm not an expert. I don't claim to be. But this is what I'm just telling you what I'm seeing, and this is what the story is out in front of me. Let's see what Joe from Madison has to say.
Hello, Brian. How you doing?
I'm glorious. It is a beautiful day out.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. I just wanted to throw into the mix as we talk about this that it's only been about 14 years that since the Supreme Court case on Heller, which said that individuals had a right to carry guns. Individuals did. You know, the militias fell by the wayside, and it was individuals had a right to carry guns, but with the caveat of public safety. And I wanted to throw into the mix that we're looking at this June of Supreme Court looking at another gun case, and that is the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, the Bruin. And it's interesting in that it's taking away the idea of the public safety in this, in that the plaintiffs wanted the right to carry, to be granted concealed carry permits. They applied for it and they were granted it, but they're restricted in where they're allowed to carry their guns. They sued along with the NRA, and what they want, they believe under the Second Amendment, they have an unfettered right to carry concealed carry whenever and wherever they want. And that's kind of what's at issue here. So the public safety side of it is going away, and what they are arguing is, in their instance, they're arguing solely on the basis of history and tradition, having the judiciary use that in their interpretation of the text of the Second Amendment. So that could be real interesting. So public safety isn't what would guide it.
Yeah, that is interesting. A couple things come to mind here. First of all, the shooting at the OK Corral, that was over gun control. Because the city of Tombstone, you weren't allowed to carry within city limits. And that was them going to enforce that rule, and that's what started the whole shootout. Even the Wild Wild West, where people were just shooting each other left and right, apparently, they had stricter gun control laws. That's kind of interesting. but I don't necessarily. I do ascribe to the. First of all, if you're going to conceal carry and that type of thing, the police that come in don't know whether you're a good guy or a bad guy, okay?
Yeah, also, dangerous.
Also, the number of those concealed carry guns that are involved in homicides of the domestic violence variety far outweigh the good guy with the gun theory, the guy defending themselves. Now, our friend Gary in Sussex tells a story about how he got a knife pulled on him and he pulled his gun, never fired it, of course, ended up going to lunch with a guy. I think those situations are few and far between, although amazing.
Yeah.
I guess my point is that by adding more guns into the situation, it doesn't necessarily make things worse. Although I do understand someone's need or want or desire, because again, we do provide for this as a right. So we have to go and figure out how to navigate this without, you know, again, I don't want to go and take people's guns. I don't think going door to door and doing anything like that is ever going to turn out well for anyone.
Well, it's interesting to me, and I'll just close my remarks with this, Brian, which is that the previous standard had been, yes, you have a right to do it, but public safety also must be considered in the equation. When you're saying that people have a right to carry your guns virtually whenever or wherever uh-huh. they want, I do want people to think about anyone having a gun whenever and wherever they want, because it's not public safety in mind. So, and a reminder that gun control in America really started up after the Huey Newton Gun Club in California started going open carry to every police call that they could possibly go to. And that Huey Newton Gun Club is what caused then Ronald Reagan to say, gee, we need gun control in California. So I think it's interesting to uh-huh. say, well, who's carrying these guns? Could every woman? I mean, most women can find more places that they may feel afraid and in need of guns than men can, I would say.
For sure.
So, yeah, most women should be concealed carry. Should we go with this? I think it is a fascinating time, and I just throw this into the mix as you start to discuss this whole issue. And thanks for tackling this, Brian. It's a really, really good topic to go into.
Yeah, you can't, again, there's no definitive answer. I want, it would be nice if guns had been regulated correctly as we go, but again, enough of them have been distributed at this point. It doesn't even matter. You know, we do that really well. We export arms, we make arms, we shoot and kill things really good. We're good at that, man. Maybe we should figure out how to, you know, handle them properly at least. Because, again, there's so much out there. Even if you cut off the supply right now, we still have enough to kill each other and shoot each other dead for years to come, guys. I mean, again, we can worry about the gas supply, we can worry about the supply of formula, but guess what? We got plenty of bullets, y'all. Plenty of guns to shoot them with, so good for us, we have a surplus.